name of Tanya McCormick, I think it was, sings it. You can't find hardly anything on it. All I could do is I went to Miss Karen and I said, look, somebody's got to sing a song. Here it is. And then, praise the Lord, she sung it today. I don't know how she found what she did. I guess she just listened to it and picked it up. But I thank the Lord for that. It's a wonderful song, and maybe some ladies will get together and sing it together. We definitely want to sing that again. There's a leaning place on the everlasting arms. Wonderful song, and what a great truth that is. And so I'm thankful that that was sung this morning. It blessed my heart. I want you to turn this morning to Romans chapter 8. I'm sorry, turn to Romans chapter 12. And Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Now we're still in our series this morning of living your God-given dream. Living your God-given dream. And that's the series. But let's start reading here in verse number 3. And we'll read down through verse number 8 and we'll get right into the message, okay? The Bible says here in verse number 3 of chapter 12 of Romans, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for our opportunity to be in your house this morning. Lord, what a blessing it's been already to be here. Lord, we're thankful for these our people that's come to hear your word. Lord, we pray today that you'd help me. I pray you'd cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Lord, help me to preach only what thus saith the Lord. I pray you'd hide me behind the cross of Christ, that I'd say nothing that does not need to be said, but everything that does. We pray, Lord, above everything, that the name of Jesus would be lifted up in here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were not here last week, I really want to encourage you to get the message from last week because it ties into this message, and it'll really help you to understand this thing of knowing how and being able to live your God-given dream. As we continue our series this morning on that, living our God-given dream, we talked last week about discovering your God-given dream. And Romans chapter 12 here, verses 1 and 2, give us a great blueprint, if you will, to being able to discover, gives us some instruction on how we can discover our God-given dream. And it gives us a path, if you will, to discovering our God-given dream. Talked about that last week. But discovering our God-given dream and defining our God-given dream are two different things. And I want to talk to you this morning for the next few moments on defining our God-given dream. And there are two different things. You see, to discover means to uncover or to remove a covering. Simply just, it's uncovered, it's there, maybe it's visible, you can see it. But when you define something, the word define means to describe. It means to ascertain or explain the distinctive properties or circumstances of a thing. I want to say that again. Define means to describe or explain the distinctive properties or circumstances of a thing. When something's distinctive, it's unique. If you say that's a distinctive tie, Brother Arville, and it is, it's unique. I make fun of his tie because he always talks about my ties. It means it's unique. And so, other words, what is the distinctive properties of our God-given dream? What's the uniqueness about it? You see, to define means to determine with precision the specifics of it, all the way down, fine-tuned part of what it is. Discover has more of a broad sense. In other words, discovery is the beginning stages of learning something. Now, when you first discover something, you don't know everything there is to know about it. You've just simply discovered it. But there still needs to be some defining, there still needs to be some determining, there still needs to be some learning what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you define something, you're getting right down to the specifics of it. As we looked last week at these first two verses in Romans, we talked about discovering our God-given dream. We said, first of all, that if you're going to discover your God-given dream, you've got to submit yourself to God. He says there, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And many times we have the attitude, we say, well, I want God to show me His will for my life and show me my God-given dream, and then I'll decide if I want to do it. No, God said, look, you submit yourself to me, then I'll begin to show you my will. And then we said that we got to separate yourself for God. He says, be not conformed to this world. There needs to be some sanctification and separation to God. God's not going to drop His dream and His vision in an unclean vessel. And then we said we need to seek to be led by the Spirit of God. He says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We talked about the fact we have the mind of Christ. But just like that caterpillar turns into a butterfly, transformation needs to take place. And our mind, His mind needs to become our mind. We have the mind of Christ, but the mind of Christ needs to have us. And Paul said, this is the way that we begin to discover, that we begin to know what's the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, when we're doing those things and we're delighting ourselves in Him, we begin to submit ourselves to Him. We slowly begin to uncover, and the Lord begins to show us what His will is for our life, but it still needs to be defined. It still needs to be defined. You see, for instance, as I was submitting my life to the Lord, as I was delighting my life in the Lord, I knew that the Lord wanted me to preach. There was a definite call to preach on my life, no doubt about it. I knew that. Now, I knew that His will involved preaching the gospel. There was no question about that. I knew that, but I did not know in what faucet that would be in. I did not know for sure what capacity that God wanted me to do that. I didn't know if it would be youth ministry. I was involved in the youth. I didn't know if it was evangelism. I didn't know if it would be a missionary. I didn't know if it would be a pastor. I did not know those finite details, but I knew God wanted me to preach. And once we begin to discover God's will, there needs to still be some zooming in. There needs to be some, it needs to be brought into more of a clear focus. I had discovered God's will for my life, but I had not yet defined God's will for my life. And it still needed to be more clearly focused in on. In this passage, Paul begins to share with us something that will help us not only discover the will of God, but as we go on, he begins to give us some things that will help us define the will of God for our life. In other words, what's that exact thing that God wants for us to do? Notice with me what the Bible says in verse number 6 of chapter 12. He says here, having then gifts. I want you to underline that word gifts in your Bible. Having then gifts. Because this is very, very important on this path of us discovering our God-given dream. He's already, or defining our God-given dream, He's already told us how we can discover it. We submit ourselves to God and those things we talked about last week. But He says in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us. Now I want you to understand this verse very clearly. Notice He says that we all have gifts. Every single one of us have spiritual gifts, have things, talents, and abilities that God has given to us. He says we all have gifts. Notice He also says that our gifts are different. They're unique. He says, having then gifts differing. They're different. But they're different, watch what He says, according to the grace of God. According to the grace that was given to us. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. In other words, my gifts and your gifts are unique. Your gifts are unique to you, and my gifts are unique to me. Because the reason they're unique is because there is a specific will, there's a specific dream that God has for my life, and God has for your life, and He has equipped me, and He's equipped you accordingly to your God-given dream. We've been equipped. He says, having then gifts. I want you to turn with me quickly to Jeremiah. Hold your place here and turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. You see, our God-given dream, if you take notes, I want you to write this down. Our God-given gifts are going to always line up with our God-given dream. Your God-given gifts will always be in tune and in line with your God-given dream. Because we all have gifts accordingly. Understand the context Paul is talking about in Romans 12 is the will of God. He says that you may prove what's the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And he begins to tell us about some gifts. Now, here in Jeremiah chapter number 1, Jeremiah, the Lord begins to reveal to him the plan that he has for his life. And I want you to look with me at verse number 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. That means set you apart. Watch this. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You see, when God came to reveal his plan for Jeremiah's life, he did not give him some broad vision. But no, he had a specific purpose for his life. And he said to him, no, I've ordained you a prophet. A prophet. Very specifically, he told Jeremiah, we had a specific calling on his life. There's some finite thing that God wants you to do. It's not, well, I know God wants me to preach. Well, that's great, but how does he want you to do that? Where does he want you to do that? Now, I understand, I don't just preach to you. I preach at other churches, and I'll preach at missions, and I'll preach at any of those places, but ultimately, God's called me to pastor. And he's shown me that very clearly through some of this, as we'll get into this. But he tells Jeremiah, he says, look, to be a prophet. Now, he had a specific will for Jeremiah's life, but I want you to watch this. Not only did he have a specific will, not only did he have a specific dream that he wanted to give to Jeremiah, but he equipped him for that dream. Watch what your Bible says in verse number 6. Then said I, here's Jeremiah says, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whither and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee, deliver thee, saith the Lord. Watch what he says in verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Now, what was Jeremiah's calling on his life? What was his God-given dream? To be a prophet. What's a prophet do? They go and speak to the people for the Lord. The priests go to the Lord for the people. A prophet goes to the people for the Lord. What God wanted him to do, his God-given dream, was to be a prophet. But God not only called him, but God gave him the gifts to do what he called him to do. He equipped him to do just that. He was very specific in his dream for Jeremiah's life, but he was also very specific in the gifts that he gave to Jeremiah. Now, back in chapter number 12 of Romans, in this context, the same context that we were talking about last week, the context of the will of God, Paul begins to explain to us, he gives us guidelines to discover God's will in verse 1 and 2. And then he goes on and gives us some more guidelines that's going to help us define and fine-tune the will of God more clearly in verses 3 through 8. And I want to say, first of all, as we get into this, if we're going to be able to define our God-given dream, number one, we must make a personal self-examination. A personal self-examination. Notice again verse number 4, it says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. And then verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. We all don't have the same gift, and no one has every gift, but we all have gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Therefore, we need to make a personal examination to figure out what gifts God has given to me, what gifts God has given to you. It's going to be very, very helpful in you defining what your God-given dream is. I want you to look quickly. Well, I'll just read it, chapter 12 of Corinthians. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 quickly. I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Lord has given us gifts that's going to help us define what it is he wants us to do with our life. In verse number 29, he says, are all apostles? You see, we don't all have the same gifts. Chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Verse 30, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No. Everybody don't have the same gifts. Jump back over to verse number 18. Watch what he says. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. See that? God said, every member as it hath pleased him. We all don't have the same gifts, but we all have been given gifts, and our gifts that have been given to us were according to the will of God, as it had pleased him. They were according to the will of God. In other words, that's God's purpose. That's God's direction for our life. The gifts. Having then gifts differing according to the grace of God. In other words, that's what God wants us to do with our lives. So what we have to do is we have to perform a self-examination of who we are. We have to be honest with ourselves about who we are. We have to be honest with ourselves about the gifts that we've been given. We have to be honest with ourselves about our abilities that God has given to us. The Bible says this, and I want you to write this verse down, at least the reference, Ephesians 2:10. Says, for we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. That's His creation. Now, a builder, His workmanship would be a house. Now, it says this, we're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto, you understand, when God was fashioning you, when God was fashioning me, He had in His mind what He wanted for me to do, what He wanted for you to do. He had in mind our God-given dream and our will, His will for our life. We're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. In other words, so God has created us a certain way. You see, if a builder built a house for, if he's building it for maybe just Orville and Jackie, then he's going to build a smaller house. Maybe they don't need all the room, but if he's building it for me, we'd need a bigger house. So what happens is that builder is going to build a house with the specifics of what that house will be used for. God has built me. God has built you in a way with the specific details and gifts and abilities for what He wants you to be used for. We're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Why? Unto good works. Unto good works. That's God's plan for our life individually. So then what we have to do when we're trying to define more specifically, more clearly what our God-given dream is we have to look at how God created us. Because however God created us and whatever God's gifts that He's given us gives us a pretty good indication of the dream that He has for us. When God began to reveal to me that His will for my life was ministry, that it was full-time Christian service, when He began to reveal that to me, as I said, I didn't know everything. I didn't know at that moment the exact details. I didn't know immediately He wanted me to pastor. I didn't know that, but I knew that He wanted me in ministry in full-time capacity. He made that clear. This is what I want you to do with your life. I want you to surrender your life fully to me and fully to ministry. I knew that, but then as I delighted myself in Him, He began to give me the desires of my heart, but then something else happened. You see, He helps to lead and guide us through our desires. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give thee the desires. I talked about some of that last week. Get the tape. But then something else happened. You see, once I surrendered to His will and I surrendered to preach, and it's amazing how clearly things begin to get. It didn't happen immediately, but especially a year or so down the road, as God began to show me some things, and so many more things in my life began to make sense. So many things that happened in the past began to make sense. So many positions that He had put me in, whether it be leadership positions or different positions, started to make more sense. And I began to realize that God was preparing me for such a time as this. And some things began to happen in my life. Now, I began to realize that all those things I went through, whether it be good or bad, God was going to use those for good. The talents and the gifts, the abilities, whatever He's given to me. You see, the thing is this. I knew that God had given me a love for people. I knew that God had given me a desire to want to help people. You ask anybody that's ever known me for all my life, if I can help you, I'm going to help you. In any way, I want to help people. And I've helped those people even that I knew they were lying to me. I knew they weren't telling me the truth, and I still help them. I've helped those people that have said things and talked about me and slandered me, and I've still went and put full heating and air systems in their house. You see, I knew that I had heart. Paul said this, I would therefore very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. And I knew that God had given me that kind of a heart. And you know what I found out?
God had given me a pastor's heart. So many things I could go on and talk about this. Even through just serving under my former pastor, many times he'd say, Danny, you have a pastor's heart. Just through different things of serving and ministry. What I'm telling you, when you're using your gifts that God's given you, He's going to begin to make much more clearly, help you to define His will for your life. Help you to define what it is that He wants you to do with your life. You see, I before had never viewed my talents and abilities in light of ministry. I was doing ministry, but I didn't put it all together. But God had equipped me for a certain purpose and a certain thing. God has equipped you for a certain purpose and a certain thing. And so we got to look at ourselves and say, what is it that God wants me to do? I knew that there were many things that God had gifts and abilities, things that He had given me to equip me for different things in life. But we need to view those things in light of His will. We need to view those things in light of His ministry. Many things I was passionate about. I was always able, even as a young boy, I remember I was a young boy and I was counseling my dad. I'm just being honest with you. I mean, he was going through art, and I've always been able to counsel with people. I've always been able, folks would confide in me. I have family and friends, my whole family. They don't call anybody, they call me. I'm not telling that to brag. What I'm telling you is that I didn't understand all that, but I do now. Because God had equipped me for a certain purpose in life. And God's equipped you. He's given you gifts, so we have to make a personal examination. I knew the Lord had given me a great wife. Can I tell you something? When God has something He wants you to do, He equips you fully to do that task. And God has given me a great wife and, you know, all those things. And so God never intended. There's been a lot of pastors ruined because of their wife. God never intended for a pastor's wife to run the church. It happens in a lot of places, but God never intended for it to be that way. God intends for a pastor to run the church, and she's to have a meek spirit. Now, the ladies of the church ought to follow her, and thank the Lord they do here, and they ought to look up to her. But God never intended that the pastor's wife would run the church. My wife has such a sweet spirit, such a meek spirit. I've had folks tell me before, say, look, you can go if you want to, but she's staying. You see, God will give you what you need to do what He wants you to do with your life. But she's to be a support system. She's to be a helpmeet. And my wife supports me 1,000%, and she always has. And what I'm saying to you this morning is God has a specific dream. God has a specific will for your life where His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He's gifted me, He's gifted you, and everything that He's given us, He's given us all we need to accomplish His will for our life. Now, on the contrary, when we try to live the dream that we want to live, it doesn't work. God hadn't equipped us to do some things sometimes that we want to do. Let me say this, you're never going to come in and hear me get up and announce, folks, I'm resigning the church and I'm going to fulfill my God-given dream of being a professional gospel singer. You have to laugh so loud. That's not really, you know why? Because God didn't give me that gift. Don't say amen. God didn't give me that talent. I wish He had. I love to sing. So you know what? You all just have to listen to me sing because I'm still going to sing. But that's not going to be my main focus in life because that's not the gifts God's given me. That's not what it is. And I've said, look, I'm never going to try to be a Bruce Fryer or Brady Rochester, any of these guys, because that's not God's will for my life. That's not my God-given dream. And you know one way I know? Because He didn't give me the gift. He didn't give me the gift. I've had people say, Brother Dixon said, I'd be over the stuff over at the other church, and I believe God wants me working with the youth. God wants to work in youth ministry. And I know them, and I've known them for a long time. And I know they have zero gifts when it comes to working with young people. They don't like young people, you know. And now, having said that, we ought to be willing to do anything. I've volunteered for so many things that I'm not qualified to do. But we ought to be willing to do whatever we need to do. But that can't be our main focus in life. And that can't be, we can't try to force a situation. There's a lot of people that's trying to they just have this great desire, whatever it be. I believe there's pastors that way. They're not pastor material for whatever reason. There's a lot of great evangelists, preachers that are great preachers and men of God, but they're not pastor material because they don't have any love. They don't have the right heart. And so when we try to do that, which we're not being gifted to do, and make that our main focus in life, it's not good for anybody. And so we need to, I'm a firm believer that whom God calls, He equips. And so a great place to start is look at the gifts and the abilities that God has given to us. Many more things I'd like to say on that. I've got to move on. Number two, the thing we've got to do is we need to make a proper self-image. We need to have a proper self-image. Notice what he says in verse number 3. He says, "For I say unto you, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." That's Romans 12 and verse 3. Now, we need to have a proper self-image. He says, I'm saying to you that you don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. First of all, he says don't think more highly. You see, when we think more highly, what happens is we begin to glorify self. When we think that we're something we're not, or capable of things that we're not, or either way, we begin to glorify self, and our whole purpose and the whole reason God's given us the gifts that He's given us is to glorify Him. And so he says, don't think more highly than you ought to think. Everything you have is by the grace of God. Nothing I have, nothing you have, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And so when we understand that and when we embrace that, we're not going to think too highly of ourselves than we ought to think. The first thing that Paul does as he begins to write Romans, and even in this verse, is he acknowledges the grace of God. He says there in verse 3, I say through the grace given unto me. Back in chapter number 1 of Romans, he says this in verse number 5. Chapter 1, verse number 5, he says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. You know what he does? Paul very clearly is saying, I understand my apostleship is by the grace of God. I'm an apostle. I am what I am because of the grace of God. Paul here, he's saying, if I'm not careful, I could easily begin thinking too highly of myself because I'm an apostle if it weren't for one thing, grace. Paul said, I could easily get pompous, I could easily get prideful, but for one thing, grace. I understand that all that I have is by the grace of God. I acknowledge that my calling, Paul says, my gifts, my authority, it's all because of God's grace in my life. Therefore, I have nothing to boast about. James 1:7 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, and where there is no shadow of turning. You see, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. God gave you those gifts. God gave me those gifts. And so we need to acknowledge that and understand it's nothing but the grace of God, because if we're not careful, we'll begin to think how fortunate the church is to have us and our gifts. Well, this church is sure fortunate to have me and all my gifts. We'll begin to think that. You'd be surprised at the people that think that. I'm not necessarily talking about here in churches, I'm talking about. Well, this church is sure fortunate to have me and all my gifts. Winston Churchill said, the cemeteries are filled with men who thought they were indispensable. He said, but the church still goes on. Let me say something. Whether I'm here, whether you're here, this church is still going to go on. The church still goes on without me and without you. And it's not a great privilege to this church to have my gifts or to have your gifts. But instead, it's not we're doing that we're giving them a great favor, but it's a privilege to me to get to serve. Some people get so puffed up that work in ministry or servant work is beneath them. Paul says, don't think too highly of yourself than you ought to think. You know why? Because when you do, you're never going to fulfill His plan for your life. We got to have the proper self-image. Not only that, but he says, don't think too humbly. Don't think too. Now, there's a lot of people who have such a low self-esteem of themselves, they think, man, I know God's given me this gift. I know. But I could never get up on that platform and sing. I could never get up on that platform and play. I could never. No, we need to have the proper self-image. So what is the proper self-image? He says there in verse 3, think soberly. You know what he's saying? Think as God thinks. Understand, it's the same context we looked at last week where he says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The verse right before. What renewing of your mind is he talking about? Having the mind of Christ. And so we need to think as God thinks. He goes on in verse 3 and he says, don't think too highly of yourself, more than you ought to think, but think soberly. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, in other words, we need to see ourselves, who we are in Christ. You know what? You may have been a rascal. You may have been a filthy sinner. You may have been a prostitute. You may have been a drug addict. You may have been a drunkard. You may have been the worst drunk in town. But can I tell you something? That's not who you are now if you're saved. And we need to think soberly. We need to see ourselves as God sees us. And if you want to know what God thinks about you, all you got to do is look at Calvary. If you really want a great picture and you want a great word picture of what the Lord thinks about you, just look at Calvary. You want to know what value He places on you? Just look at the cross, because it was there where God thought you were pretty special. In fact, He thought you were so special, and He thought I was so special, that He sent His only begotten Son and allowed Him to be crucified. He sent Him and allowed Him to be beaten and bruised and beard plucked out and spat upon, and He allowed Him to be punched in the face and spikes driven into His hands and spikes driven into His feet and a spear driven into His side. If you want to wonder, if you ever wonder what God thinks of you, just look at Calvary. One of the reasons that people never use the gifts that God has given them is because they don't have a proper self-image. Imagine this. We just got through Christmas. Imagine that you bought your children all some gifts. You've given them gifts. They're under the tree. They're wrapped up and you're all excited for them to open those gifts. And Christmas morning comes. They're over there. As they're opening them, they don't seem all that enthusiastic about it, and they open them, still maybe half the wrapper on it. They kind of see what it is. They take it, put it up in the closet. How would that make you feel? It'd make you probably feel angry. It would hurt your feelings. You see, God has given you gifts, and God has given me gifts. And when we do not have the proper self-image, it keeps us from using the gifts that God has given to us. I want you to look at Romans chapter 8 for a moment. Back up to Romans chapter 8. Very familiar verse, the first one here, but I want you to look at it with me here. Paul says in verse 28, And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Watch this. To them who are called according to His purpose. In other words, His will. His will, all things work together for them to call according to His will. You understand that? The will of God's context here, 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. The Bible said according to the purpose of His will that He's brought some things into our life that we could be conformed into His image and have a proper self-image. You see here, it says that God has a will for our life in verse 28, that we've been, that these things come into our life according to His purpose, according to His will. And then it goes on and He says there in verse number 30, you've been justified, you've been glorified, you've been predestined with the gift. And Paul says in verse number 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We need a proper self-image. What does God think about us? He goes on, verse 32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered us up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed. All the day long we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. We need the proper self-image. We've been justified, we've been glorified, and he's predestined you and I with a gift. Paul says before you can be effective with your gifts and your talents God's given you, you first got to have a proper. Be not high-minded. Don't think too highly of yourself, but think soberly as Christ views you. So we need a personal self-examination. We need a proper self-image. I want you to notice thirdly, in defining our God-given dream, we need a proper source for administration. A proper source for administration. Very clearly, Paul lets us know that whatever our gifts are to be used in the work of God. Our gifts are to be administered in the work of God, in the church. Back in Romans chapter 12, notice what he says in verse number 5. He says, verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. Or ministry, verse 7, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. You know, he says, whatever your gift is, get busy. But watch this in verse number 4. He says, for as we have many members in one body. He's talking about the church. Look at verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. I want you to understand something this morning. Every single thing that God is doing in this world, when having to do with God's will, he's doing some way, some form or fashion through his church. He didn't leave any other entity or organism but the church to do. I talk to folks all the time, you do too. I don't see any reason to go to church. I can have church on my back. Many, I guess they figured out their response because Christians come and witness to them. A lot of waiters or waitresses, they'll say something like, y'all ask them, so where'd you go to church this morning? Or where'd you, you know, well, I went, the first they'll say to them, well, yeah, I went to church, my bedside. I said, no, you didn't go to church. And I'll talk to them about it. And, you know, the church is important. And God is doing work, but he's doing it through his church. So we need to understand, watch this, that your God-given dream in some form or fashion is going to include his church. It's going to include his ministry. People say all the time, my God-given dream is to be a NASCAR driver. Well, it very well may be, but you're going to have church. You need to be doing something that's going to be furthering his kingdom. Because the work he's doing, he does through his church. So many people go off on some handle somewhere, go off on, and they, well, God's written, no. God's will is because he's doing his work through the church. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and look at verse number 12. Watch what he says here. Even so, ye. Now, we already read earlier where Paul says he set every member in the church specifically. God has set members in the church for specific purposes. Now, watch what it says here in verse 12 of chapter 14. Even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, there's the context, seek that ye may excel, what? To the edifying of the church. To the edifying of, in other words, God's purpose for giving us spiritual gifts, he's given us, the ones he's given you, the ones he's given me, is that we may excel in edifying and building up his church. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, very familiar passage, and he gave to some apostles, and to some prophets, and to some evangelists, and to some pastors and teachers. Why? It goes on to tell you why. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Whatever gifts, and we won't have time to go through them all. There are many gifts. Whatever gifts the Lord has given you, he's meant for you to use those in the church. You say, well, my God-given dream and gift is to sing, and God's given me a great voice. Can I tell you something? What you do in the church? I was talking to Emily. She was riding with me. We went somewhere just the other day, and the radio was on, and I don't remember who was singing, but some young lady, and she said, when can I sing on the radio? I want to sing. I said, well, if I preach on the radio again, I'll bring you and let you sing. She said, no, I want to be on the radio. I said, you know what? You already far surpassed the radio. What are you talking about? I said, yeah. I said, you already made it way far past the radio. I said, the greatest place in the world, the most high place in the world to ever sing is the church. You see, all these people coming out of church and are getting on American Idol and are getting on... When people get too big for the church, can I tell you something? They're not living their God-given dream. Because their God-given dream very clearly tells us it's to be to building up the body of Christ. And when people... That's why I don't have folks... Look, if they sing concerts and they meet at the Coliseum and those kinds of things... Hey, that's between them and the Lord, but I'm just simply saying I like local church people because God has equipped you to do a work for Him through His church. Through His church. You say, well, maybe my God-given dream is to be a musician and He's gifted you with the ability to play the piano or play the guitar or something like that. He expects you to use it in church. Now, everybody can't be the main church pianist. There has to be order. There has to be those things. But there's plenty of places that you can be used of God for your talents here still. A backup pianist. It could be a solos. It could be junior church. It could be all kinds of areas where you could be used. We want to start a youth choir. We got a children's choir. We want to start a youth choir. But we need people that can do those things. I'm just telling you that God has equipped you to do things. It's going to help in this church. And I believe with all my heart that God has set every single person in this building that we need for this thing to function perfectly as a body. Perfectly as a body. We have every single thing we need, all the talents, all the gifts, for this thing to function perfectly as a body. It wasn't long ago that we had a plumbing problem. And be a couple thousand dollars to fix, whatever, but some of the men knew what to do, had those gifts and talents, said, hey, it okay if we come Saturday and fix it? Praise the Lord, Brother Jerry, come. Phil and those that come to help to do that, Orville. You know, we got everything we need. Well, we got to use our gifts and talents and abilities. We need to view them in light of ministry. You know, Reese here, and he's going to get embarrassed. I'm going to embarrass him. No, I'm not. For 20 years, 25, how long it was, now he worked city, but he worked as a chef. Most of you know that. But can I tell you something? He's using those gifts here now, and it's a great blessing to this church. We need to view our gifts and abilities sometimes. We never share. Now, how can I take this same gift? Maybe you're using it to make money, praise the Lord. But number one, use it for the work of God. Everybody cannot be the pastor. I understand that. But we need to understand that our works and our job and those things are just a means for a greater cause. They're just to help us get the income that we need to be able to support the work of God, to be able to eat, to be able to support our family, and those kinds of things. If everybody worked at the church, we'd be in a financial mess. So I understand that. But God still wants to use your talents and abilities. You say, well, God's gifted me the ability to understand and operate video computer systems and all that kind of media and all that stuff. You know what? There's a place you can do it in the church. There's plenty of things you can do in His church, and He's given us the things that we need to perform the functions that we need to perform, just like our bodies. And you see, the thing is, when one part of the body, He refers all through Scripture to the church as a body, and that's what it is. And when any part of your body is not performing its functions the way it's supposed to, for instance, not long ago when my leg is still not performing perfectly, but it's much better, praise the Lord for it. But when that side thing was all messed up and my leg wasn't performing like it should and I couldn't get out of bed, let me tell you something, it affected my entire body, my whole body. And when one area of the body is not functioning properly because those gifts are not being utilized, it affects the whole body. It affects the entire body. So I hope you see how important that it is. Ephesians 4:16 says it this way, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Other words, when the whole body is fitly joined together, with every member fulfilling its duty and its role, then and only then is the church being edified properly. Then and only then is the church functioning as God intended, and it's being built up. He says that it be built up. You know how we're going to build a work? I told you from day one, I said, it's not going to be me, it's going to be you. God working through you to build this work. The body. If the body just had, now Christ is the head of church, we understand that. We're the under shepherd, but if the body just had a head, it's going to need some more functions to be able to do what it needs to do. It takes everybody. God's equipped each and every one of us with certain gifts. The church needs teachers. The church needs preachers, even other than the pastor. A church needs musicians. A church needs choir leaders and choir members and choir directors and sound men and carpenters and maintenance workers and prayer warriors and encouragers and table washers, deacons, if you will. And a church needs ushers and bus captains and all those things. All those things for it to function properly, and nursery workers, and takes those different people with different gifts. That's why it says having then gifts differing. We all have those. Now, I'm not saying that every gift is to be used only in church. But I'm saying all of God's work is done through His church, and God's ultimate will for your life will in some way stem out of the work of the church. If you were to go to the mission field from this church, you would be sent out of this church. And therefore, you would be using your gift to help us fulfill the Great Commission to what the Bible says. He says, go in Jerusalem, but not only here in Jerusalem, but He says Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And the way we fulfill that as a church is we send people either out of this church or we send them by helping them financially. So still, you may not be physically in this church working, but you're doing the work of the church. Well, God wants me to be a doctor. May very well be, but you see, you may find the cure for the next great D.L. Moody or someone like that that cures that missionary that's going to win thousands of people to the Lord, but still, He also wants you to use that gift in the church, maybe as a church nurse. I'm just telling you, we need to view our gifts in light of the church. There's a lady we used to go to church with, and now, she did other things, and that's the other thing. We don't need to get so fine-tuned that, well, this is my only gift. This is not. No, we can do a lot of things, but there's one main thing that God wants you to do. There's a lady that she cut hair. That's what she did. So she said, hey, this such and such day, so we're going to set up a hair-cutting thing, and I'm going to cut hair, and you can give donations, and it's going to go to the youth fund. We need to view those things in light of the church. There's so many ministries that's needed. I think of a ministry I've been wanting to get started. Helpers of Your Joy ministry, I call it. It's a ministry that's going to kick off of the ladies' ministry. And Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 1:24, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. We're helpers of your, an encouraging ministry. Maybe writing letters to missionaries. Maybe it's you're encouraging someone sick in the hospital. All kinds of things. By the way, exhortation is one of those gifts that the Bible tells us that some people have. All these things. Whatever your gifts are, you can and God wants you to use those gifts in His work some way. It's the dream that He has for your life. And so to help us understand and better be able to define our God-given dream, we need to make a personal self-examination. We need to have a proper self-image. We're nothing without God's grace, but I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We're somebody that's He saved. We're somebody that He sealed. We're somebody that He sanctified. We're somebody that He is skilled to live out the will that He has for our life. We need to have the proper self-image, and then we need to have the proper source for our administration. The proper source is the church. The proper source is the house of God. It's the work of God. It's the ministry of God. It's where He wants you to use that. God hadn't given you this great talent so you can go sing on Broadway. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that's not God's will for your life. He hadn't given you this great talent so that you can go play in a rock band. God has given us gifts, He said very clearly, for the edifying and building up of the church. These are the things Paul gives us. He says that you may know what's the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what we need to do? Look at our gifts. Look at our abilities. And don't be somebody that says, well, I could never do that. No, Jeremiah said that. God said, no, I've already equipped you to do it. You see, there's a difference in somebody being afraid to do something. By the way, you want me to help you know what you're calling it? It's something that you want to do so bad, but you're afraid to do. That's the thing God wants you to do. While He gifts us to do those things, there are still areas that I need help in as a pastor. There are still areas that you need help in whatever role that He's put you in, because God still wants us to lean on Him, because His strength is made perfect in our weakness. But He's still given us some gifts to perform certain tasks. And so in defining our God-given dream, let's look at ourselves, be honest with who we are and our self-image, and then be honest with the gifts and abilities that God's given us. And let's say, how can I be used in the work of God? Because then and only then will you begin to discover and define your God-given dream. Let's stand for prayer. George Truett said, to know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. He said, to do the will of God is the greatest accomplishment. So many people talk about success, and we live in a world, everybody wants success. I want to tell you something. The only way you're going to have true success at the end of this life is for you to find God's will and then do God's will. That's true success.